the sermon. So good. We'll be in Acts 2:42 today. And the title of today's message is The Road to Devotion. The Road to Devotion. Before we begin, would you join me in prayer? God, continue moving in and through us this morning as you already have been moving through the songs and the scripture readings and the prayers. God, just continue moving through me as I proclaim your word, that it would be accurate, that it would be timely, that be with everyone here, that they would have hearts to believe. God, we need you in this moment. Continue moving. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the road to devotion. Just recently saw my brother-in-law this past week, and he has been working out. If you know my brother-in-law, he does everything 110%. So he doesn't just do anything halfway. So when he's like, I'm going to work out, like he has two gym memberships. I'm not lying. He has one membership close to his house and one in the city in case he's in the city. Like that's how devoted he is to working out. And well, I just started kind of working out a little bit too this past couple weeks. I'm like, you know what? I think it's a good idea to challenge my brother-in-law in a push-up competition. You know, sadly to say he won. He beat me by like 10 push-ups. So, you know, he's really devoted to this. And honestly, if I've been more devoted, maybe I could have beat him. But I'm just kind of like, you know, it's a good thing to do to keep me healthy. But I don't have a gym membership. I'm just kind of working out at home. He even has guys that he told me about. He was looking at going to the row machine. He's like, he didn't know how to use it. But one of the guys there showed him how to use it. And then he's like, it's really, getting him stronger and all these different machines they're teaching him how to use. And so as a follower of Jesus, you want to live a life of devotion. You want to have a life of commitment to Jesus, and you want to live the way he wants you to live. But sometimes it can be difficult. Maybe you just don't know where to go next. You don't know how to do it. It's like, all right, I want to follow Jesus, but what do I practically do? And you kind of need someone to help you. And part of my responsibility as a pastor, as your pastor, is to help you on that journey, to help you on your journey of devotion, to get you more mature in Christ. If you want to do something to follow Jesus more, I want to help you in that. And that's what we're going to see today in Acts 2:42. We're going to see some ways. I'm going to be kind of like your spiritual coach. I want you to open your Bibles up to Acts 2:42, and we're going to get to work. This is kind of a workout today. Acts 2:42 says this: They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Before we get into these steps of devotion, you might already be thinking, well, I really would like to do this more. How would I get into the apostles' teaching more? How would I pray more or better? Before we get into that, we have to get how they got there. We have to see, kind of go back in time a little bit, and who are these people? And we're going to see three truths. Truth number one, all humanity shares the same story. Because who are these people? They may seem very different than us. They lived 2,000 years ago. They spoke a different language, a different culture, but we're very similar to them because really, if you think about it, all humanity share the same story. Why? Because we all were created in the image of God. We all have sinned and fallen short of God's perfection, his standard. We all sin. We do things we don't even want to do. And we match our lives up to God's perfect law, and we say, yeah, we fall way short of that. That's all humanity across all time, across all languages. We're all in the same boat. And all of humanity is seeking salvation. They're seeking something. They're seeking some satisfaction. Now, where you find that satisfaction, where you find that salvation, that's where your people are at a crossroads. They say, oh, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to fulfill my life. This is what I think my purpose is. I'm going to do what makes me happy. Or they repent of their sin. They recognize I've fallen short, and they turn back to their Creator. They worship the one true God. And so today, before we get into the devotions, you have to say, where am I at in the story? Where am I at in the story? Have you committed your life to Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? If so, if that's your story, if you've repented, you believed, you're following him, that's the perfect place to be to start following these devotions. But maybe you're at the crossroads still. Maybe you haven't chosen to repent and turn to Christ. Or maybe you're still learning. So we see these people. How did they get to this place? How did they get to this life of devotion? How did they know about Jesus? How did they believe in him? If we go back a couple verses in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, We see this is the context. It says, Peter stood up with the 11, that is, Peter the apostle, stood up with the other 11 apostles, and he raised his voice, and he proclaimed to them, fellow Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and pay attention to my words. So these are the people. They're listening to the message from Peter that he's about to give, and what he's about to do is explain to them that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is Lord, that he is Savior. And these people, they knew the Old Testament. They would know these prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. And so maybe you can relate to these people. Maybe you knew a lot about Jesus. Maybe you grew up in church. You know all the stories. But now you have to make a decision for yourself. Am I really going to follow Jesus? Is he really Lord of my life? Or do I just know a lot of facts about the Old Testament, a lot of facts about the New Testament? When I was growing up, I never went to church until I was 9 years old. And thinking about my kids, they've been raised, no one been reading Bible stories to them, going to church since before they were born. They were born into the church, born into learning about Jesus. It's hard to believe I lived 9 years of my life without even knowing anything about him. And so when we walked into church one day, my parents, one of their friends invited them, and they were like, yeah, okay, sounds like a good thing to do. We think it'd be good for our family to go see what this is about. And we went, and we learned about Jesus. And you know what? I never felt, looking back on it, I never felt like an outsider. I never felt like, even though I didn't know anything, all the other kids, where they were nice. They didn't make fun of me for not knowing any of the stories. And we learned. And over the time, over a couple months, that first year, my parents got saved. I got saved. I believed in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I continued to learning more and more about him. So where are you at in the story? Are you continue learning about Jesus now? Maybe you've known him your whole life. Maybe you've been following Jesus for 50 years. And so both sides need to recognize. Maybe you're on this side of, I've been following Jesus for 50 years. We're going to meet people, if we're reaching out to our community and people are coming in to our church, we're going to meet people that don't know a lot. And so we need to be patient. We need to be with them. We need to meet them where they're at. And then if you're here and you're like, man, I just started this journey. I just had started reading my Bible for the first time last week. I feel a little intimidated. Well, don't be intimidated. Don't be nervous. We were all at one place at the beginning. You got to start somewhere. So I commend you on starting that first step. We're all starting this journey. We might be in different places, but we need to be together and help each other on this journey. Some people responded to the message. They repented of their sin. They trusted in Jesus, as it says in verse 41 of Acts 2. So it says, so those who accepted his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. You see, it's not just about hearing the message. It's not just about, oh, I learned about Jesus today. It's about a response. And so that's going to be a main theme throughout this sermon today, is responding to committing. Dan's sermon, if you haven't listened to it last week, Dan preached on a call to action. And he really wanted, it's like, we know what the Bible says. We know what God wants us to do. Now we should follow up. We should follow up. We should do it. We should commit to it. He's calling us to an action. And so today, as your spiritual coach, as the pastor, I want you to commit to a certain number of things as the Lord puts on your heart. Because as we go through it, I don't want you to check a box just to make yourself look better or to check a box to make me think better of you or anything like that. Be honest. I'm not going to judge you or condemn you. As we go into these first questions, never mind, I'm getting way ahead of myself on the outline. We got two more points to go to before I get to that, but I'm excited about to get to that point, all right? So we have to know where you're at in the story before we get to the devotions. I'm already jumping ahead to the devotions, right? Because this is truth number two. Salvation comes before devotion. Salvation comes before devotion. So there's a reason Acts 2:14 through 41 comes before Acts 2:42. There's an order. There's a natural progression of things. You can think of it like this way. A few months ago, I was putting a table together in my office, and I read the instructions. I did. I read them. I skimmed them, okay? I skimmed the instructions because I should have read them because I thought all the legs were the same. They all looked the same, four legs to a desk. You know, you can see this table or any other desk. It's like they're all the same. It doesn't matter which leg goes where. It did matter, all right? It mattered which leg went on which side. It was all wonky. I had to take it all apart and put it back together. So if you don't look at the instructions closely, if you don't read the Bible closely, you can come away with a misunderstanding. There's a reason that you read Acts 2:14 through 41 before you get to 42. Because sometimes you could think, well, Well, this is what a Christian means. This is what a Christian does. A Christian goes to church, they listen to the Word of God, they read, they pray, they fellowship. And so if I'm doing these things, I must be good. If I'm doing these things, then I'm going to go to heaven. Those things are good to do, but those things aren't going to get you to heaven, right? You have to repent of your sin and trust in Jesus. That's salvation. That's heaven. That's eternal life. These things come after that. These things are the fruit of your salvation. So we must get the order right. Salvation comes before devotion. And then truth number three, the Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. Because we can read verse 42 and be like, yeah, I love studying God's word. I love getting in my quiet time. I have my prayer closet. I love doing these things. I love fellowshipping alone. And they're like, wait a minute. You can't fellowship alone. Fellowship, by the very definition, is other people. And so the Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. Yes, you can have a private study. Yes, you can have private prayer. That's great. But not to neglect to meeting with other people, to hearing the word preached from your pastor, to meeting with other people, to hear them pray, to pray for one another, to love one another. Because this is the context of verse 42. It happens in community. They were together reading God's word. They were together fellowshipping. They were together breaking bread. They were together praying. This is what God's people strive to do. They strive to be together. So, where are you in the story? What is your next step? Maybe you need to repent of your sin and place faith in Jesus. Maybe you just have to take that first step. If that's you, you see on the back of your bulletin, you can put your name, your contact info. If I don't have all of your contact info already, put it on there. I want to know. I want to help you on your next step. If your next step is, Josh, I want to repent of my sin and place my faith in Jesus, let me know. Or maybe you've done that. Maybe you're just like, yes, in my heart, I've repented. I've turned away from my sin, and I've confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But have you been baptized? That's step two. Have you followed Jesus in baptism? Have you proclaimed that you're a Christian? Have you proclaimed to the world that you're following Jesus? If not, what's holding you back? I can help you on that. I can coach you through that to step two if you need to be baptized. Third, maybe you've repented, you've placed your faith in Him, maybe you've been baptized. Have you completed step three? Have you been part of a local church? Are you a part of a local body of believers? Are you committed to someone? Do you have a pastor? Is someone holding you accountable? Have you been added to the number? As it says in verse 42, they were added to the number. They were added to the church. Now, if you've repented, if you have faith, you've been baptized, then step four is the rest of your life, the rest of your Christian life. You want it to be devoted to Jesus. You want to walk the Christian life. If that's where you're at, check that box. Wherever you're at in the story, I want to know. I want to help you reach that next step. So we're trying to make it real simple, real easy. Put your name, phone number, email so I can get in touch with you. Again, I'm not going to judge you. Be honest. Be honest where you're at. Don't think about what other people would think. If you're like, oh, well, everybody assumes that I've been baptized, or everybody assumes that I've been a part of the church, but I haven't. What's your next step? Check the steps you want to take, and I'll reach out to you. So, next steps of devotion. No matter what step you're on, if you're even on the step of, I'm just still learning, like I'm just here, I just walked in today, and I'm still learning. You can still learn about the future of like what the Christian life is supposed to be of these four devotions. Again, we see in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So first, devotion to the apostles' teaching. What does that mean, apostles' teaching? So the apostles were those 12 guys that were near Jesus, his whole ministry, and they learned from him firsthand. They were with him, and they passed down what they learned. And much of that is written down in the New Testament. And we have the Holy Spirit empowered them to remember everything and write everything that they needed to write for us. We see in John 14, 26, it says, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. So we can trust the scriptures. We can trust the New Testament. And by application, we also trust the Old Testament. Jesus quoted the Old Testament constantly. He taught from the Old Testament. He fulfilled the Old Testament. So we have the Old Testament and New Testament as part of what we're supposed to be devoted to, as part of that apostles' teaching. So what does devotion look like for you? We're going to make it real easy again. We're going to have, what's your next step? And again, if you haven't listened to Dan's sermon last week, it's online. Watch that. It'll bring you kind of, it's a continuation, or this sermon is kind of a continuation of that. He's calling you to action. Well, here's the action. Here's the action steps. Here's where you can commit. You know, me and Dan have been talking about for the past few weeks, one of the goals we want to reach as a church together, we want to increase our volunteer teams. Every one of our teams that we have, every one of our committees, we want to increase them, have more people involved. And so we have to, that's a great goal to have. Now, how do we get there? You have different steps we have to try to make. And so here's, if you have the goal, if you want to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, if you see that as a good thing, and I hope you do, if you're following Jesus, I hope you see that as a good thing to be devoted to. What are some steps you can actually take? What does that look like for you? Well, here's some things that you could do. Step one, make a commitment to Sunday mornings. This is where you get to hear your pastors teach and preach. We prepare all week to study God's word and be able to explain and apply it to your life. This is an important Sunday. This Sunday morning is the time we have decided that this is when most people can come together and where we can get together, sing, pray, and teach God's word. So make a commitment to Sunday mornings. If you want to do that, if you want me to help you with that, if you want to make that a priority, check that box. Step two, read the devotions. Read a devotion. I have devotions in the, we emailed out the bulletin that there's devotions in there. These devotions are kind of like a summary of the Sunday morning sermon. So it's really good if you hear the Sunday morning sermon, you can have it reinforced throughout the week. So do you want to sign up for those daily devotions? You can even text the number and get them sent to your phone. They're on Facebook and Instagram. It doesn't have to be my devotions. I think those would be helpful. It makes us all on the same page. But any devotion, if you want to sign up for my devotion or get another devotion, check that box. I can help you do that. It's simple. It's quick. It's something that is doable and keeps you in the Word. Step three, study the topic or the scripture of your Sunday school class or your small group. A lot of people in here go to a Sunday school or have a small group or are going to start going to a small group, and you're going to have a book study. You're going to be doing something. It's great to go. That's the first step. That assumes that you're going to one of these things, to being involved in a smaller group of people where they actually know you and can study and answer your questions. And so are you prepared for when you show up? If you want to be prepared, if you want to show up prepared and you want to make that a commitment, check that box. We want to keep you accountable to that. We want to help you and encourage you to do that. Make a commitment. Make it a priority. Be prepared and study beforehand. And then lastly, step four for this one, have a Bible reading plan. Get a study Bible. There's a lot of good ones out there. I was talking to a guy the other day. He asked me what the best Bible translation is. And it's amazing. If you haven't looked at, you know, talking about sending Bibles to Kenya, how blessed we are in America and blessed we are speaking English, where we have so many good English translations, where all over the world they have like one or two in their language and it's kind of spotty. But a lot of the English translations are very good. I've kind of sided with the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. I've gotten to know some of my professors. We've been on the translation teams, so I kind of have an inside scoop, and I know their theology. And so CSB is what I choose, but there's other ones out there, and that they have a good study Bible as well. My mentor in the faith, Dr. Quarles, actually wrote the study notes for the book of Matthew in that study Bible. So again, I have some connections with that. But if you want to be committed to a Bible reading plan or get a study Bible, check that box, and I can check in with you, and I can help you do that. Again, don't check something just to check it. If you really want to be committed to it, I want to help you do that. All right? I'm not going to judge you if somebody, if you turn in. I want everyone to turn one in, even if it's blank. All right? It's fine. I'm not going to judge you. I want to help you reach your goals, whatever your next step is. And one small way we can do that is that you commit to it, that you check it, even as simple as checking the box and signing your name, saying, I want to do this. Like I said, in many ways, my responsibility as your pastor is to help you grow. As we sung about, we want, when Jesus returns, we want to be a church ready for him. And this is one way we do that, growing in maturity, growing in our devotion to the apostles' teaching. Next is devotion to fellowship. Fellowship, the Greek word is fun to say, koinonia, koinonia. Generally means to have a close relationship with someone, to be together, to share with one another. In the context of followers of Jesus, fellowship means they are united around Jesus. They're coming together for a particular reason, for a particular purpose. It's not a social club. When we talk about Christian fellowship, it's not about we have the same likes, we like to play soccer, or we like to do this, we like to do that. No, we're united around Jesus. He's our Lord and Savior. And so when we come together, it's not because we have a particular shared interest or have the same job. That can be fine, and that can be helpful at times. But we hang out together because we all follow Jesus. And so, do you want to be with other believers? What is keeping you from fellowship, keeping you from being united to other people? Is it your busy schedule? Is it your priorities? Do you have being united with other believers around Jesus as a priority? Has that even, like, have you thought about that? Like, we put everything on our calendars, at least we try to. If it's not in my calendar, it's probably not going to happen, right? Because if it's not in my notes, if it's not my planner, it's not on my to-do list, I'm going to forget about it. We put our kids' sports events, we put our doctor's appointments, we put things, anniversaries and birthdays, we put those important things in our calendar so what? We don't forget them, right? So here's the challenge. Schedule fellowship. Make it a priority. Make it a commitment. Schedule it. It ain't going to happen if you don't schedule, if you don't prioritize it. So here's the challenge more explicitly, because a lot of you do a really good job of fellowship. But here's, I want to push you one step further. I want you to meet with somebody from the church that you don't normally meet with, right? Everybody has their group of friends and their group that I really can connect and like that person. That's great. Keep hanging out with them. I'm not saying unfriend them, right? But I'm saying, reach out to somebody you don't normally hang out with. Somebody that you've seen at church for, you know, weeks, months, years. You're like, you know what? I've never sat down and talked with them before. Go on a walk. Go have coffee. Have dinner. Whatever you like to do. It doesn't have to be complicated. But spend time with each other. Let them get to know you. You get to know them. And again, the reason that you're hanging out, the reason you're spending time with each other is because you both love Jesus, right? That's what connects you. All right. Next, for the next step here, commit to scheduling a meeting once a month. Try to do it once a month if you can. And again, check that box if you want to commit to that. The next one is the breaking of bread, devotion to the breaking of bread. These early Christians were devoted to breaking bread. If you are spending time with each other, you're likely sharing a meal with each other. That's a common way people get to know one another. You share a meal with them. You welcome them in to your family. You welcome them over to go to a restaurant. Sharing a meal is one way to connect. And these believers were not just sharing meals, just normal meals like lunch, but they were sharing a special meal. They shared the Lord's Supper together. They broke bread and they drank wine together to show their unity around Jesus' death and resurrection. Luke 22:19 says it this way. Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering Jesus' death and resurrection is the foundation at the core of our faith. So Jesus gave us a practical object lesson to do as often as we come together. And so in a few weeks, I'll be preaching on the meaning and the importance of the Lord's Supper. And so what's a practical response for you? What commitment can you make? How can you be devoted to breaking bread together? How can you be devoted to the Lord's Supper? Well, typically here we have the Lord's Supper every other month. It's on the second Sunday of the month. Put those Sundays in your calendar. Obviously, I want you to commit to every Sunday, but we have only 6 Sundays out of the year where you get to share the Lord's Supper, and it's pretty important to do, as we'll see in a couple weeks, so I will elaborate on this. But they were devoted here. You see that they were devoted to breaking the bread. And part of that means that they were devoted to the Lord's Supper together. So be devoted. Make those Lord's Supper Sundays an extra priority to follow Jesus' command to do this in remembrance of him. So if you want to commit to making the Lord's Supper a priority, check that option. Lastly is devotion to prayer. Are you devoted to being united in prayer with your church family? Again, Acts 2:42 is in the context of the church and people praying together. In our place and time, the temptation is not for we don't Our temptation is to be individualized. We want to do everything on our own. It's hard to open up to people. Whatever, I don't know, I'm not a sociologist, but so for whatever reason, in America and the West, for the past couple centuries, we've moved towards individualism, where other countries, Asia and other countries, move towards community. I don't know, everybody has their own temptations, I guess. But prayer is vital to the Christian life, and we need to work to pray together. So what can you do? Step one, commit to praying in church. Commit to praying in church. This is really easy, but I catch myself doing this even. A little confession time here. We just go through the motions of prayer. Like if someone else is leading a prayer, that's not my time to look at my notes. That's not my time to look at something else or do something else or think about something else. Or it's not the time to close your eyes and take a nap when someone else is praying in church, right? So be dedicated. When someone's up here leading in prayer, they're leading in prayer. They're not praying just on your behalf so you can be like, all right, Josh has got it. He's praying, so I don't need to, right? I'm leading in prayer. Everybody else up here is leading in prayer. We want you to pray with us from your seats. So be focused in, be engaged when we're praying together. That's step one. Step two, pray for one person a day from our church. We're about to be able to print a church directory. The church directory is already online and you can get the app, but we're about to print it. And once that's, if you want a print version, I like the print version. I have like a rough draft and I pray for different people every day. Pray for just one person from our church a day. You can do one person, you can do it. It's very doable. And you can increase that if you want. But I'm just here. Simple step in to encourage you in praying for one another. And then step three, if you want to commit to this, read a book on prayer. There's a lot of people I talk to is like, I want to pray, but I don't know how. What do I say? What do I do? When do I pray? How do I pray? And so that can be somewhat confusing. So they have many helpful short little books that I could recommend. If you're interested in that, check that box and I can send you some recommendations on a book on prayer. So there it is. I preached on one verse today, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. I'm reminded of the quote often attributed to Mark Twain. He is said to have written or said, "Most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture that they do not understand. But the passages that bother me are those I do understand." Because there are many clear passages in the Bible like this, Acts 2:42. It's like, yeah, I should be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to prayer, and the breaking of bread. It's pretty clear what I should be doing as a follower of Jesus, but it's challenging to do it. It's easy to say. It's easy maybe even to check a box. But that's why I want to be here. I want to reach that next step with you. I want to help you on that goal of maturity. We're in this together. We want to everyone reach the goal of maturity. And like with every goal, it begins with the first step. So what steps are you committing to? During our time of response, if you haven't already, prayerfully consider your commitments. Check your commitments. Write your name, write your phone number, email if I already have it. And at the end of the service, after we're dismissed, you can drop it off in the back as you leave that way. Just drop it off in the basket where the bulletins are. There's a basket in there where you can put the bulletins. Or if you're coming this way to get your kids, you can just put it on the table, all right? No one's going to see this but me, and I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to be like, Joy said she wants to be, you know, whatever, right? I'm not going to embarrass you. Literally, I want to help you on your next step. What is it for you? If you're truly wanting to be committed, that I want to help you. And also, if you're watching online or if you're watching a recording of this later this week, you can text our texting number. If you text the word STEPS to our number, it's 833-291-5402. You can do that online as well. Again, that will go to me, and I'll reach out to you and help you on that next step. So again, it's not the difficult passages that are challenging. Sometimes it's the easy passages. Those like, oh yeah, I understand that. Now I got to do it, right? And again, I want to make sure this is clear before I wrap up here. These devotions do not save you. This is not legalism. This is not works-based. This is not, oh, Pastor Josh gave us a whole bunch of to-do lists. No, the whole first half of my sermon was, you got to repent and believe. That's salvation. And if you repent and believe and you follow Jesus, and then here's some things that you can grow in. Here's some things that if you want to be devoted to, I can help you. Here's some ideas. And these are just a few. Come back next week for some more, all right? Amen. All right, that's all I got for you today. Let me pray for us as we respond to the Word of God. God, thank you so much for just the simple words, the simple words of the apostles here about Jesus, about being devoted, about repentance. God, sometimes we can get so distracted by all the interesting and challenging passages in the Bible. We just need to go back to the basics. God, just even for me to go back to the basics and even for me to commit to these things of devotion. And God, be with anyone here that is wherever they're at in their story, that they would take that next step, that they would be courageous, they would step out on faith, they would see it as worth it. They couldn't wait any longer. They want to take that next step, whatever that is. God, encourage them to do that. Be in their heart. Move in them. Even in our time of response as we worship and praise, continue moving. God, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If y'all would please...